have three people to share the word of God. Or did I say I have three amazing people to share briefly with you the result of what God is doing in their lives and in our church? These people are going to tell you about their journey. But their journeys are part of a bigger thing God started several years ago in South Street Baptist Church. God has been transforming our church over the years into a warm and welcoming community with great worship, slick services, and preaching, which has turned this church into a beautiful place of worship. We've had amazing and incredible programs. In spite of all this, there has been people in the church going through very difficult challenges and emotional breakdown in their lives that we didn't seem to know or to have the answer or the courage to deal with those. People were oppressed, people were sick, people were dying, people were sinning, people were breaking down, etc. And we did not know what to do. I'm telling you about our journey as a church. It was not until the autumn of 2017, after much personal prayer and also intercession by a very small team of dedicated people who had been praying with me in the church building every Friday, that God spoke to me about what he wanted to do and what we could do to deal with some of these challenges. And the verse that God gave to me was from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 to 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 to 5. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says this, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." I, as your pastor, I understood that to mean, if the gospel of Christ has to be real in people's lives, we must preach the whole counsel of God in this church, South Street Baptist Church, and that the message should be accompanied by demonstrating the power of God and the Holy Spirit's power to see people saved, the poor relieved, the oppressed go free, the sick healed, and to bring the light of God to dispel darkness so people's lives will be changed, transformed, and restored. I sincerely didn't know how to go about this revelation. But God led me and my wife to go to a university in Miami in the United States in the summer of 2018 and again in winter 2019 to learn how to deal with this situation. We also learned that it means a lot of sacrifice and crossing certain lines in our lives. We had to cross the line of comfort, line of convenience. We had to reorganize our priorities. We had to deny ourselves of sleep and food to pray and intercede for people in this church. It was a difficult time for us as a church. But God has since opened our eyes to a lot of things in the spirit and also how to help people change from being mere believers into powerful disciples of Jesus. This is also so that these disciples of Jesus do not become casualties of spiritual war. Today, we are privileged to hear stories, or the stories of three of such people in our church. We're going to hear from Bramo Simiyu. We're going to hear from Sasha Kasuja and Jessica Nash to share their stories and realities in the past 2 years. So even as you are listening, I will say to God be the glory. It's as a result of God speaking. It's as a result of our reality in the church, the good and the challenges. It is as a result of what God says in His Word that we are where we are. So today, we'll invite Bramo to unmute himself to share his story as he knows it and what he's seen and what God tells him to tell us. So he's going to do that briefly for us. So please, let's listen to Bramo. Is Bramo there?
I'm here, Pastor.
Thank you.
Just fiddling with the unmute button. I'm here now. I just want to take this opportunity to thank you and Pastor Irene indeed for this privilege of being able to speak to the community at South Street Baptist Church, because indeed God has been moving in power. He's been doing great and mighty things in my life. I've listened to people's testimonies and I've seen how good and how faithful God has been. And today, I'm just here to share my part of what God has done. There's so much that He has done that I cannot cover it all in just this session today. But I'll share with you my journey, just three things that God has really worked on in my life. I remember back when Pastor and Pastor Irene introduced the discipleship pathway, I remember one thing that Pastor Gideon said very clearly. He said, some people will be offended by it and they will want to move on, and some people will stay and we will continue. Hallelujah. I remember the story of Gideon, the judge, and 32,000 soldiers he had as they went to war, and he thought, this is the right number of people for me to go to war with. But when he asked them if there were any who were afraid and they wanted to quit, 22,000 dropped off. So you can imagine, out of all the people he had, all of those were going to be fearful, and therefore they were going to die in the war. Later on, there were 9,700 who were just completely incompetent, and they were weeded out, and there was only 300 people or so who were left to go into war. I just pray that today God will allow me to be a part of that army that fights and wins battles against our enemy, who is Satan. Hallelujah. I have allowed God to change me. I have allowed Him to have authority over my life. When I came to this world, I knew nothing about how to live this life. So I've allowed the author of my life really to take control and have His way and lead my steps. So the three areas that God has really worked on in my life, He has healed me. He has empowered my relationship with Him, and He has empowered my relationship with other people. And those are the three areas that I'm going to share with you this morning. I remember when we had the discipleship, when we had a day of healing and deliverance, one of the things that I learned in that morning that we had was how things in the past, in my past life, had affected me and affected me emotionally and spiritually, and how words that other people used indeed have affected my life. In many ways, I didn't realize what had happened, but God knew very clearly, and He knew this day was coming. That day was a renewal of my life. I was healed in a profound way. Indeed, physically, I didn't feel something happening to me. But I say that, but indeed, there was something, because I remember sitting down and I couldn't stand up. I was desperate for the toilet, but I couldn't get up and go because I was shaking and I couldn't stand up. God was at work. More importantly, there was a lot of emotional baggage that was released on that day. And I remember that day as a new beginning for my life. I know that people may have intended a lot of things in my childhood, intended good things for me, but they did not know. And I did not know the things that they were doing would impact me in a negative way. And on that day, I repented. God forgave me and he released me to a new beginning. So on that day, if you have not experienced a day of deliverance, that is a powerful thing to be in, because God shows you things that you've never experienced before. Hallelujah. It has done me a lot of good, and I mean a lot of good. And I know that Pastor and Pastor Ivan have experienced similar things as well that God has done in their lives. And I have a different outlook to life. For me, that was the beginning of healing, and he continues to heal me today. Hallelujah. Mm. Today, I have a closer relationship with God because he is with me. Hallelujah. I've become more intimately involved with God. When I have time with for prayer in the morning, I do not have I do not have a rigid routine, but I have a routine where God speaks to me. Sometimes I will worship a lot more. Sometimes I'll pray for long times, just seeking his face. And I do not run out of things to pray because God is speaking to me. The 2 hours that I spend in the morning with him are more valuable than any other time I can spend with anyone in the world. Hallelujah. There are times he will call me to pray for people, and I'll pray for you, and it turns out that you are going through a difficult time. God speaks, and he lets me pray for you. There are prayers that have been accumulating in heaven, and I've seen breakthroughs, and when they burst through after a year of praying, you just cannot but give thanks to God because of what he has done. So today I'm able to go deeper in worship. I'm able to reflect on his goodness. He comes and he renews my joy. One of the greatest weapons that I've found very, very powerful during this journey has been fasting. I find it easier to fast and to make time to spend with God. And then God brings answers to things that I never knew. Most important change in my life in fasting was to create a time of silence and to listen to God revealing things to me. A lot of the times we are busy thinking of other things and what we are about to pray for next. But God has time to speak when we listen. It's not by accident that the word listen, when you jumble it up, you find it makes the word silent. And so I have found those times of silence, God speaks powerfully to me. And he has revealed things that I never knew before. My fasting has been empowered with revelation and indeed a burst of breakthrough. Things that I never understood, things that I prayed for nearly 9 years or more, are answered during times of fasting this year and the years past. God has been truly faithful. I have better revelation and understanding of the word of God. And when I see people with injustice towards me, I do not see those people. I just see the spirit behind it, and I can speak into it and speak the truth of God and bring the reality of God into my situation. And I'll just remind you of the word of God in Romans 8, verse 28. It says, we know with great confidence, I'm reading from Amplified Version, Romans 8, 28, it says, and we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and his purpose. So I have no fear because God is always in control. I have become bolder. I can face difficult situations much better equipped with the word of God and seeing what God is doing in your lives and what he's doing in my life. I have my eyes on Jesus, and every time I feel any form of anxiety, I know at that moment that I'm turning inward and I'm looking at myself rather than looking to my God. There's a beautiful scripture in Zechariah 4, verses 1 to 8. I'll leave it to read that. But the word of God, verse 6 and 7, it says, so this angel is speaking to Zechariah and says, so he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Hallelujah. So I'm excited with what God is doing in my life. And it's good that he's doing it in his own way, because mine would not work for sure. I thank God for that. And then we've had a time of family school, which has really transformed the way that I relate with my family. I have learned to forgive daily, not just my family, but all those around me. I have learned not to judge others. I've chosen not to hold on to anything that people do wrong against me. I have sought God, and he has forgiven me, and he has forgiven them as well. So true, it's so true in my marriage that God has spoken, you know, in many ways. You know, I remember chapter, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, and this is a scripture I share not just for myself, but particularly for men. Men, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, if you take that verse and take it home with you, read it in your free time. God is powerful, and if you want your prayers answered, then you need to spend some time attending to your wife and responding to her needs, because God will answer your prayers as a result. I've learned to honor my marriage as a covenant, and there are duties that I've learned to fulfill that I never knew before, or I knew but I did not pay close attention to. I'm still learning. I am a work in progress. I know, for example, in the area of my ability to communicate effectively, I'm working on it, and Holy Spirit is working on me, and I know God is going to do his way. Hallelujah. I know that he's taught me how to parent as well. I'm becoming an enabler in my daughter's life rather than a hindrance to what God wants to do in her life. Hallelujah. As I almost come to the close of sharing my testimony here, I want to tell you that I have better understanding of the crafty nature of Satan in people's lives. And God has empowered me to stand with many of you in prayer. And I know that that's an area God has allowed me to minister to many of you through prayer. I'm able to discern what is happening in the spiritual world. And God has allowed me to even lay my hands on people, and they received healing because of his power. I'm well aware of the mess that Satan leaves behind, and my determination is to win that battle and to take those souls back to our God. And just to conclude, I love the man that God is creating in me. Just as he meant it to be in the very beginning, what he is creating and giving me direction, I love that God is at work in me. And I love the friendships that I have with you. But I love God the most because he formed me, and I will go back to him. And I live a life of faith, and I want the same for so many who do not know Jesus today. One of my favorite readings in the Bible is in Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 14. It's about the people of Israel and how God saved Israel and the boldness of this young man called Jonathan, the son of the king Saul of Israel. And I'll just share one verse that I read over and over again whenever I'm going into dealing with things that the enemy is destroying. He says this: Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, verse 6, "Come, let us cross over to the garrison of this uncircumcised man. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is nothing to prevent the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." So I'm willing to go into the enemy's camp and to win back souls for God, because that is what we've been called to do. And my prayer is that you will join me and the many others who are willing to do this, to go in and win souls for God. But whatever your decision, I just want you to know that I will still go in, because there are many of my loved ones who are sitting there and aware of what the enemy is doing, and I want to win them back. Hallelujah. Amen. That's my story.
Thank you very much, Bramo. That is beautiful. Thank you. Now we're going to hear from our sister, Sasha Kasuja.
Hello, everyone. Just like Bramo, I would like to thank Pastor Gideon and Pastor Irene for giving me this opportunity to speak. They have been there for me emotionally, spiritually, on this faith journey, and they always push me. They push me out of my comfort zone, even when I don't want to. They keep pushing me, and for that, I am truly grateful. Even when I moan, I am truly grateful. I have been at South Street for over a decade, but the last 2 years have been transformational, empowering, and awesome for me. I have experienced God in an intense, intimate, and fulfilling way. These are all things that I thought were too deep for me to experience as a person. And I thought, you know, these are things for people who are high in ministry. And I felt like I was comfortable just doing the things that were right, but that were not too complex for me, leaving me powerless and not being effective in the things that I needed to do. But I thank God, because the God that I serve is a God of grace, and he allowed me to remain rooted in South Street Baptist Church because he knew that I needed to be anchored in a church that taught and expressed the true love of Christ and the power of the supernatural, and would lead me into the direction that he was calling me into. So today, trying to find something to share has really been hard, just like Bramo said, because I have so much to thank God for. I have learned so much under the guidance of our pastors, Pastor Gideon and Pastor Irene. And I've learned things ranging from the power of the influence of the Holy Spirit, the power of effective prayer, giving, the blessing of serving, the power of testimony, curses, obedience, honoring authority, power of covering, stewardship. I mean, the list is endless, but for now, I need to control my excitement and stick to the script that I have to share. One of the things that I've learned and continues to overwhelm my soul with joy is the supernatural power of God. South Street Baptist Church has become a powerhouse of God. And because I identify myself as a child of the house, I'm enjoying the blessings that come with it, because I'm under the covering, and that covering is a major blessing. I'm empowered daily through the word of God that is sent in our daily devotions, in our teachings, and through the blessing of the church family. I am learning how to activate the supernatural power of God in my life, in my ministry, which I love, in my family life, and in my day-to-day routine, which, if you had asked me 2 years ago, I would have thought you're over-spiritual or you're being self-righteous. And, you know, I would just think you're too much for me. But now those things are actually happening in my life, and I'm not self-righteous, and I'm not, you know, I'm not over-spiritual. I am just learning how to appreciate the love of God in my life. Although my journey is still a building site with scaffolding all around, I have an amazing site manager and a sovereign architect who are working to make me the woman of God that I'm required to be. So today I pose a question to you. Have you heard of people that say, oh, I've been with my partner for 19 years, but we've only been married for 2 years, or I have been with my partner for 20 years, but only married for 5? Well, that's me. I have been on this journey with the Lord for 32 years, but I've only been married for 2. I have only made my vow and my commitment to the Lord concrete in the last 2 years. I know it sounds shocking, but it is true. And this doesn't mean that I'm a new believer or I did not know Christ, but I finally put a seal of commitment to my relationship with God. And I'm now walking in the supernatural authority as a child of God. I am somebody who likes to illustrate things. I understand things through illustration. And today I'm just going to share my testimony, so I've already started sharing, in a simple illustration for me. I am a newlywed in Christ. So I've been with my partner, who is my Lord, for all these years, But my relationship with him was not legalized. It was not formalized. It was not concrete. But now I am a newlywed in Christ. And like all newlyweds, I am fresh from the altar. I am excited about the future, and nothing can stop me. I did a little research on marriage. Not that I'm not married or I don't know anything about it. But the marriage I'm talking about is different. Marriage is a mortal life shared, but goes beyond a couple's earthly covenant to each other. This is because it's sanctioned in heaven. It is a vow made, and there is power in the vow. I have made a vow to God. And Deuteronomy 23, 21 to 23, I'm paraphrasing, when you make a vow to the Lord your God, you must not delay in fulfilling it. You need to be prompt, for otherwise he will surely hold you accountable as a sinner. I have made this commitment, and there is no time for mediocrity. Pastor Gideon tells us that all the time. God desires us to see things through and show our commitment till the end. So if you're in it, you have to be serious about it. You have to be intentional. And these are things that we've been taught constantly. So as a newlywed, I looked up what newlyweds do because it's been a long time since I was a newlywed. I found out the things that they do. Some are legal things that can be used officially, and others are the things that society expects of them. However, a few things stood out for me, and I'll focus on those for a few minutes. This list changes with time. So when you're a newlywed, you have a list of things you have to do, but the list might change with time. It might get bigger, and in this case, with the Lord, the list becomes bigger. It gets longer, and it adds more value to your life. So one of the things that I found that newlyweds do is that they change their names. Traditionally, this is the norm, although sometimes today people don't change their names. A name change means that you begin to identify with your partner. My name has changed because God has chosen me. For the very first time in my Christian journey, I actually understand fully what this means. I am officially associated with God, and I carry my name with no shame. God has given me boldness to speak publicly about him and what he does and continues to do in my life. I speak openly with strangers, with people in my workplace, with the mothers on the school drop-off, and those in my household. This is something I would never have done before this new transformation in my life. Deuteronomy 7:6 says, "For you are holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of the world, out of all the people of the face of the earth, to be the people of his own possession, his very special treasure. And he has done this for me, not because I'm better than you, not because I am too special, but because he loves me. God loves you, and God loves me." And the second point I wanted to talk about this newlywed thing, newlyweds add their spouse to their property and their wealth. If you're married to somebody, what is yours becomes theirs. Our God is sovereign over all things. He controls everything, even the things we think are ours. They are all his. All the wealth of the world is his. And I get to be put on the wealth that the Lord has. What a deal. What an amazing deal. He owns the whole world, and I get to be listed on his property. 1 Corinthians 10:26 says, "For the earth is the Lord and everything in it." So because of the new status that the Lord has blessed me with, I have been able to reap of his blessings, even through a time of the pandemic. He has provided for my household, and he is still blessing us. We've been able to tithe, which was something I used to think was just ridiculous. I have learned to tithe. I'm able to bless others. I'm able to give, and I still have more for the next day. God is able to bless you if you make a decision to become grafted in who he is. I think you can see my vocabulary has developed a lot. I'm talking about grafting, shifting, activating. And these are all things that I had never known how to use, but they are very powerful. as I get to the end, the third thing I want to talk about newlyweds is spending time. They spend time together to build on their relationship. God desires to spend time with us. He wants to know us more, but we need to make time to get to know him better. I have learned the importance of powerful and effective prayer and the power of speaking in tongues. I love to call tongues my special love language with the Lord, because it leaves the enemy powerless and doesn't know what is going on between me and my God as we communicate. I understand the importance of finding my there place, because it is where the Lord waits for me. He waits for me at our set time and our special place. I remember speaking to Pastor Gideon once and told him, you know, Pastor, I'm really struggling. I don't know what's going on. When I don't pray in my there place, everything is hard and my prayers are dragging. I'm just struggling. And Pastor told me, the reason that happens is because you're in the wrong place. You need to go to the place where you meet with God, because he's waiting for you there. You're in the wrong place. You've gone for the wrong date. So that for me was a moment of great revelation on this journey. God has changed my prayer life completely. I have learned how to call upon the Holy Spirit in my prayers at all times, because when the Holy Spirit is with you, where the Holy Spirit is, there is freedom. I've learned to speak to God, and I listen to him and he speaks to me. You need to make time to date God. You need to have a date with your Lord. Make time to be with the Lord, and he will give you wisdom. He will give you power, and he'll give you boldness. He will give you joy, and he'll give you overflowing blessing. I know this because I am living it. We serve a living God. He is a God of the now. He is the God who is the I am. Yes, he was, and he is to come, but he is also now. The final point that I want to make is the point, it has something to do with being a newlywed, but it has a lot to do with this journey that I'm on, and it's called obedience. Obedience is relational. You cannot be obedient if you have no relationship with someone. It has to be relational. Everything that we do as Christians zeroes down to obedience. Without obedience, we cannot grow. We cannot experience the fullness of God. And we cannot benefit from his overflowing blessings. And there is nothing that describes it better than Deuteronomy 11:26-28. Look, today I am giving you a choice between a blessing and a curse. You will be blessed if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today. But you will be cursed if you reject the commands of the Lord your God and turn away from him and worship other gods you have known before. I'm just telling you today, like, all these things that we're learning, they're amazing. You need to pray. You need to be effective. However, if you're not obedient, God cannot use you. God cannot have that relationship, that intensity that he desires to have with you. So just like me, I encourage you, make your marriage with God legal. Legalize your relationship with God. Seal it. It is not an embarrassment. We have all been transformed. Allow the Lord to seal your relationship with him. And that is my story.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sasha. That is... thank you so much, Sasha. This is powerful. And of course, I forgot to thank you, Brahmo. This is incredible what God is doing. As I said earlier on, I did not know how to bring that kind of a transformation. But I had to learn, I had to be obedient, I had to make that sacrifice. And God is transforming lives today. So we're now going to hear from Jessica Nash, and she is going to tell us her story. Thank you, Jessica.
Hi everyone, can you hear me? Yeah, cool, perfect, okay, cool. So for anyone who doesn't know me, my name is Jess. And how my life has been changed in the past 2 years. how my life has been changed in the past 2 years. Okay, so firstly, I just wanted to say that my life hasn't been changed because I'm pastor's kid, and it's not because I'm in pastor's household. You choose your relationship with God, and my life's been changed because I'm open. I chose to open my heart to Him when the vision pathway started, and I continue to choose that every day. So as you hear my testimony, you know that it's because of that choice that I made and not because I am genetically involved with a pastor's family. So when you open yourself up to God, He's going to change your life the way that He has changed mine. So I just wanted to say that before I started. So the first thing that God has changed in my life since going on the vision pathway is, like Sasha said and like Bramwell said, it's a closeness to God that I've never felt before. I can audibly hear His voice. It might be in prayer time when He's asking me to pray for someone, or if I'm walking in the street, or there was a time where I developed a lump on my ear and it was huge and I was getting really worried, and so I was Googling a lot what it was and the symptoms and all that kind of thing. And I heard Him say to me, "I don't know why you're Googling that when I'm going to heal you." And He said it 3 times and then the lump went. So I'm hearing Him speak to me like a friend, and it's crazy. And He's speaking to me about the things that concern me. So He knows my heart and He knows what concerns me, and He's speaking to me about that. The second thing that has changed is my prayer life. So like the other two said as well, through my prayer time, just the presence of God has come in a way that I never felt before. People would always say the presence of God, and I didn't know what they were talking about, but God sits in the room with you when you pray, and I'm starting to realise that, which is an amazing thing, and it's something that didn't happen before I started the vision pathway, but it's something that is happening very much so now. So in the presence of God, God will speak to me about things like the pandemic, or things about my family, or things about my own personal life that I've been concerned about. And so that space in the morning, those, like Bramwell said, those couple of hours in the morning are really important to offload how I feel, but also to hear His voice about what I'm feeling. I don't just offload and go, I wait to hear what He's going to say. So that's something that's super important as well. The third thing that is changed is I've learned more things through the vision pathway. I've learned at such a speed that I would have never known before. So I became a Christian when I was 7, so I've been a Christian for 22 years, and in the whole 22 years I have not learned an ounce of what I've learned in the past 2 years. And so the speed at which God is revealing who He is, the speed at which I'm understanding His heart, is just like a really beautiful thing. So learning who He is really important. So before the vision pathway, I would feed myself, I would read the Bible and worship and listen to preachers and stuff like that, but it's just changed. It wasn't the same to what's happening now. And also the power of God. So before, you would read about the Bible, about the power of God, you know, when you split the sea and all this kind of thing, you're like, oh, that's awesome. But now I'm understanding what the power of God is and what that means in a daily thing. So the things that I'm praying for, as my prayer time is going in the morning, I'm getting texts that are answering that. Or I pray for something in the morning and by evening it's come. So the actual power of God, like, you're seeing the things that you're praying for happen, and that's something that didn't happen before. So the things that we're reading in the Bible is happening now in the church. I just want you to make a note of that and to make sure that you're seeing that it's not something that we're just talking about because it sounds really good. People are on here saying God is powerful, and so I just want you to hear that as well. So the fourth thing that has changed is praying for people. So on the vision pathway, after each kind of session, you have to action what you've learned. So if we've just been learning about healing, then in the prayer session, if anybody's unwell, then you pray for someone. So we're learning that the word is not just something that you read, it's something that you do. That's the whole purpose of it. And so in my daily life, I'm now, you know, putting into practice what I'm reading. If my friends are sick, I'll pray for them, even if they're not a Christian. So it's just taking the word as truth and applying it to your life. So that's something that has become real to me as well. So, as I guess you've heard from three of us now, and I guess it kind of sounds like we've just acquired a lot of knowledge, but the thing is, we're not here to acquire knowledge, we're here to know God. That's the whole purpose of the Vision Pathway. And we're trying to please his heart and know what he says. In Luke 6:46, it says, or Jesus is speaking, he says, "Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say?" So it doesn't please him when we don't do what he says. It pleases him when we do what he says. And this pathway, this Vision Pathway, is doing what he says. When you go on the Vision Pathway, you learn so much about God and you know what pleases his heart. So it's really important that we do what pleases his heart once we learn about it, and you learn about that on the Vision Pathway. Positives that I've learned in the church and in people is that as a church, our first response now is to pray. If anything happens that troubles us, our first response corporately is to pray, and we pray with a belief that it's going to happen. So for example, in HOP, House of Peace, which is every Wednesday, you can see when it's time for prayer requests, people are putting in prayers that seem impossible because they know that God's going to do it. And HOP is part of the Vision Pathway. Without the Vision Pathway, that level of faith wouldn't be there. So I'm seeing in the church that the whole church is beginning to believe God for bigger things. And also that this move isn't just happening with adults, it's happening with the children as well, and with teenagers. And yeah, that's something that I hadn't seen before as well. In the whole, whatever years I've been in the church, I hadn't seen that before. So why do it? Why go on the Vision Pathway? I think if you've ever wanted to know God, and if you ever wanted to experience him and not just read about him, and to know what actually pleases him, I would encourage you to go on it. So I would just take you back to Luke 6:46, where Jesus said, "So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say?" Thank you for letting me speak, pastors.
Thank you very much, Jessica. That was powerful. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say? That is the challenge. We've been in this church, I've been a pastor for a long time, and we all want to worship God, we want to sing to God, we want to dance to God, we want to read the Bible, wave the flag, do whatever we want to do, but we want to do what God says. In the last 2 years, our faith has become so real. In South Street Baptist Church, it's been so incredible. You know what? We have taken chances to believe God. I told you earlier on, we did not know what to do. I've been a Christian for a long time. I've been a pastor since I was a youth. So I know scripture a bit, maybe more. But in all these things, what it has been so clear to me in the last 2 years in this church is that the things that I read in the Bible, I'm thinking, "Hey, yes, God can do that. I believe that, I believe it." But now I'm seeing it happens. The challenges that has been going on in the church, now we know what to do. So today, I want to encourage you, if you are sitting down here and you'll be thinking, yes, I want to encourage you to know that your life can be transformed, just like Bramo's life has been transformed, Sasha's life has been transformed, and Jessica's life has been transformed. These are three of many people whose life have been transformed beyond recognition. People are now empowered. People are now they know how to live in righteousness and not to wallow in sin. People know how to use the authority and the power that God has given to them to change their atmosphere and their situation instead of situation overwhelming them. People's mindset about God is changing. And if you are sitting down today, I just want you to know that where we are going is good. I was having a conversation with someone in the church, and the person said, "Do you regret all those years in search to some of the wonderful things that we've done?" I said, "No, I don't. They were good things. But where we are is better. It's better because it put us in a pathway that we are not afraid of the works of the evil one anymore. In fact, we actually understand, we know, and we can deal with that. And want to encourage you that if you're here looking at my face and listening to these beautiful stories, which I didn't have pre-knowledge of what we were going to say, if you thought we've just made it up, you ask them. I have absolutely no knowledge about even a word they were going to say. I said, come and tell your own stories. I just want you to know that if you are sitting down and you just don't want to be autopilot Christian, if you are sitting down and you just want to go through the motions, one day you go to heaven, but you want to know God for yourself and to walk in obedience to Him and for your life to be transformed, for your issues, that you will not always chase pastors or somebody to pray for you, but you can even pray for your situation to change. Like you hear Jessica saying, like you hear, Sasha saying, like you hear Bramwell saying, this can be you. Don't sit on the fence. It will need a lot of sacrifice. It will need a lot of determination. I love that when Jessica said, look, she's been in this house as my daughter for 28, 29 years nearly. And yet, I never once forced her to become a Christian. Secondly, this pathway, I didn't even ask her if she can come along. She made that decision. So I want you to make that decision, not to come through just a routine, a process, but to want to know God more for your life, to be changed and transformed, for you to take authority over your situations. Some of you are casualties of spiritual warfare. The issue that is in your life or your family that it keeps going on and on and on is that you are a casualty of a spiritual warfare. And if you continue to remain a casualty, it will damage you. The ultimate casualty is for you to die. Some of the casualties is that your house is messed up, your marriage is messed up, your children are messed up. Some of the casualties of war is that you become emotionally unstable. Some of the casualty is that you get some sicknesses upon you that you cannot get out of it. You always get into problem. You are in financial hardship. These are casualties of spiritual warfare. But we in this church, we know what to do. God is faithful. Human beings sometimes are unfaithful. So today we are going to pray. And as we are going to pray, I'd like you to bow down your heads. And as you bow down your heads, remember what I said from the beginning, that I was really in trouble in this church. We had a beautiful church, yet the other side of it was very challenging. But I had to listen to the voice of God. It says, our faith, my preaching is not with the wisdom of men, but with the power of God. So that your faith will also be based on the power of God as we hear. So today I want you to come before God and repent for not responding or not hearing the voice of God to do what you have to do. What is the point in calling Jesus Lord, Lord? You are a Christian and yet you don't do what he says you should do. What is the point of being in a church when you don't want to obey anything? You want to do your own thing because something is uncomfortable for you. I want you to repent and tell God that, God, you know what? I'm really sorry for not responding to you, not hearing your voice, not even jumping into this vision pathway. I'm so sorry that I've stopped somewhere because I think I'm doing Pastor Gideon a favor. But actually, it's about me knowing God and God using me. Respond to God. Respond to God that you haven't taken things serious enough. That you are part of this church, but you don't want to belong. You are part of this church, but you have crossed your line on the floor. I told you I had to cross certain lines of convenience, certain lines of comfort. Tell God about that. Also, I want you to ask God to touch your heart so that you will seek a personal relationship and intimacy with Him. That is very important. Sasha was talking about the marriage relationship and all those things. I mean, are you going to have that personal relationship with God and seek intimacy with Him? Tell God that this is what you want to do. You want Him to touch your heart. This will not hurt you, my brother, my sister. This will help you. I myself have been helped along. I've been a Christian for a long, long time, several decades. But my life has changed in a way that I can tell you that I have changed, and I feel and I know. And God can change you to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. God can change your situation. So ask God, that God put it in my heart, touch my heart. Today I am willing, I'm ready, I'm determined to seek a personal relationship and intimacy with you. I want to belong to this church, not in my face, in my number, in my person, but I want to belong to what God is doing in this church. And I don't want to come alone. I want to come with my family. I want to hold their hands. We want to grow together. We want to experience the supernatural power of God. We want to have those breakthroughs together. Tell God that you've had enough of those emotional breakdowns. You've had enough of those disappointments, pain and sicknesses. You've had enough of those mental problems. You've had enough of those demonic attacks on your life. You've had enough of rebellion. Today you want to come back home and you want to hold the hands of your family to come with you. Your brothers, your sisters, your children, your husband, your wife. You want to hold the hand of your nieces and nephews, your uncles and aunties, your parents, your grandparents, your loved ones, your friends. You want to hold your hands. Not only to come to church, but to come and be discipled. Because this church knows how. And anyone who is willing, their lives have been changed remarkably. I'm not inviting you to a very beautiful church which we've had for several years. I'm inviting you to a powerful church. For God to be real in your life. So speak to God. Watchman, do what you have to do. You got to. Come on board this vision. You got to come on board by inviting somebody. And have that expectation that God will do something in your life. I have 2 minutes and I'm going to pray for you right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Sharababasi and the Rebel Coastal and the Rebel Bokotoya. Oh, Rababashia Rababasi and the Ramamakoto Toyani. Father, we welcome your presence in the homes. Father, we welcome your presence in the homes. Father God, pour down your spirit in the homes. In the name of Jesus. Father God, we pray for needs to be met. Father God, today, everyone that has a need, Father God, the need for healing. Oh God. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus. Father, you are supernatural God. You have healed many. Father God, people who were on deathbed, you have actually brought them back to life and they are on their feet in this church in the last 2 years. Father God, people who had critical illnesses where medication couldn't help, you were able to resurrect them back onto their feet. And Father God, we pray in the name of Jesus, the same supernatural power of God, I release people, Father God. People who need a touch from you. Father, who need a touch from you. Someone is standing in for his or her brother or her sister or husband or wife. Today you are standing in for that person. Today I pray and I say, receive that healing right now in Jesus' name. I pray that that healing will be yours. Receive, receive, receive in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we believe you. Father, we believe that you are a healer. Father God, we believe you are a healer. Sharaba sokora musiketeya. Ikilababa shorobabo sonto andere memukoto yande. Father God, I enter, Father God, the upper supernatural. I enter the third heavens where the throne room of God is. And I bypass the second heaven where Satan and his henchmen are. And I bypass the first heaven where the demons, the spirit of wickedness are. And I bypass every obstacle here on this earth in the name of Jesus Christ. And I bring healing in Jesus' name. Father God, every healing that has been intercepted, Father God, in the second and the first heaven, Father God, I take it back. In the name of Jesus. And I give it back to those who deserve it. Right now. Anyone who is asking for this healing. Today I say receive it in Jesus' name. Physical healing. Oh God. Healing in your body. Healing in your mind. Today receive it. Receive it. Receive it in Jesus' name. Hosha rabo sikia rababashi and the elebo sokotori and the hika rabo sokotori and the. Today we want to pray for anyone who wants a breakthrough right now. Father God, I pray that, Father God, some people have had obstacles upon obstacles in their lives. And Father God, they cannot see the head or the tail. They cannot find a way forward. Today, I say, God, rend the heavens. Rend the heavens and come down. Jesus, rend the heavens and come down. And Father God, let the mountains shake. Father God, those are demonic presence. Let them shake. Let them quake. Let them be removed and be cast out into the sea. And Father God, let there be sudden burst of your supernatural power in the lives of those who want the breakthrough right now. Today, receive that. Father God, let there be a sudden burst of your supernatural power in every situation there where there has been an obstacle. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the area of finance where there have been obstacles. In the area of business where there have been obstacles. In the area of marriage where there has been obstacles. Today, I move those mountains in the name of Jesus. Father God, in the area, oh God. Father God, I pray. Father God, in the area. Father God, in the workplace, Father God, where there have been obstacles, I pray that the mountains will move. Father, come from the heavens and rend the heavens. That means rend the second heavens, rend the first heavens, and rend the earth. Father God, that means cut through, burst through these obstacles, oh God. Burst through and come down and let the demons shake. Let the mountains move. And Father God, let there be a breakthrough in people's lives. Let them receive what they want. Let them receive what they need. Let them receive what they are asking for. Right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, no demon can intercept the prayers I'm praying. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Because they are powerful prayers coming from the throne room of God. I rend the heavens. God, rend the heavens right now and come down in people's lived lives, in people's reality. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God, intervene and give them breakthrough, a sudden burst of supernatural action that they will get what they want, that the obstacles will move and they will get what they want. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive that, receive that, receive that. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Now, I just want to remind God in Luke 6:46 that why do you call him Lord, Lord, if you not do what he says you to do? Now, today, if you want to call Jesus Lord as your Savior, if you want to do what he is calling you to do, intimacy and close relationship with him, so that you can change your priorities, so that your laziness will go away, so that all the rebellion will go out of your life, all the excuses that you have for things will just go away and God will intervene. So today, if you're here and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, you want to rededicate your life to Jesus so that you can get into that close relationship, just raise up your hand to me and I want to pray for you. I'm not going to do anything. I just want to pray for you. You want to rededicate your life. Don't be ashamed. You are not doing it for man. You're doing it for God, just for yourself. In Jesus' name, God bless you. God bless you. Who else want to do that? Don't be afraid. I'm going to pray for you right now. God bless you. Who else want to rededicate your life to Jesus? Hallelujah. I'm going to pray for you right now. In Jesus' name. Father God, I pray, oh God. Father God, for these two people whose hands are raised. Father God, a third person, God bless you, that whose hands are raised right now. And Father God, I pray in Jesus' name that you move in your power, Father God, to release their spirit, release their soul. Father God, in their heart, release hunger and thirst for righteousness so that they will be filled. Father, fill them in Jesus' name. Fill them in Jesus' name that they will not be turning back. There will be no more turning back in their lives. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, I seal this prayer, Father God, in the supernatural name of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and resurrected. Amen and amen and amen.